from the NCHC.TV studios. This is College Hockey West Live. College Hockey West Live is brought to you by Jesse Ray's Barbecue. For lunch or before the game, the best in barbecue, Las Vegas style, at 308 North Boulder Highway in Henderson. By the NCHC and NCHC.TV. Subscribe to NCHC.TV to watch the best in college hockey since 2013. Caesars Entertainment Resorts and Casinos, whether it's Las Vegas or any of our other properties, an iconic vacation awaits you at any of our destinations. The Spaghetti Shack, classic Italian comfort food quickly, with two locations in Tempe and one in Pine Top. Order online at thespaghettishack.com. Liberty University, play for something more. Faith, education, and hockey at liberty.edu. By FedEx, the official delivery company of Ice Time Hockey West. And by the Caesars Sportsbook app, a proud partner of the NHL. College Hockey West Live from the NCHC.TV studios is a part of the IceTimeHockeyWest.com network. Here are your hosts, Scott Strandy and Paul Hornstein.
Well, welcome in, hockey fans, anywhere that you may be joining us this late Sunday evening for College Hockey West Live. Scott Strandy with you tonight in Maryland Heights, Missouri. My co-host, as always, from the big, beautiful palatial estate out on Long Island, New York. We now just call it the Command Center for Ice Time Hockey West and College Hockey West Live. Paul Hornstein is with me. Paul, anything happening this weekend from like Thursday until tonight?
No, that's a good show. Good night, everybody.
All right, have a good night. Yeah, good night. Not a thing happening, so we're all good.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious. There's no way that we can put this all in a one-hour show, so we'll kind of use capsulization tonight, if that's a word I can use, and capsulize everything.
Well, you know, we'll try to keep it all down and see if we can get through the hour.
Goodness. So this is regional weekend.
Right.
And things have been bizarre for the for the regional since last Sunday night when came out. The brackets came out. Correct?
Yeah, I mean, there have been no lack of storylines.
Storylines?
For sure. Yeah, no lack of storylines, for sure.
Okay, so let's start off with this storyline. Last Saturday, the Denver Pioneers won the NCHC Frozen Faceoff.
Did they?
And it seems like forever ago now. But anyway,
well, I'm saying, did they win?
Yeah, they did win. And they
they won the game, but did they win?
No. Well, so far they're still winning, but
yeah.
But anyway. They win a game that they knew going into, if they lost, they would be in better position, which goes against everything that is sport, in my mind. So they win the Frozen Faceoff. They cover the trophy, but really what they're doing is getting set for the NCAA regionals, which were played Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, essentially, this week. And by winning, they took themselves out of playing in Sioux Falls and out of playing in St. Louis or Maryland Heights and ended up in Springfield.
Yeah.
And as head coach David Carl put it, I missed a couple of things when I was documenting it, but they slept in Minneapolis, St. Paul on Saturday night, got up early and took a flight out back to Denver so that they could avoid a snowstorm.
What are you shuffling over there? What are you shuffling over there?
I'm not shuffling anything. I'm just sitting there. My chair.
Oh, okay. Because it sounds like you're, I don't know. I mean, I'm usually the one scratching my chin while we do this. I don't know if you're doing
No,
I don't know.
I didn't think I was. I was just moving my phone from one place to the other.
Like,
that was it. Okay. Sorry. I won't do that. Whatever it was.
Whatever it was. Yeah. All right. So they stayed in St. Paul.
They flew out on Sunday morning. And got back to Denver. I presume got a good day's rest. And Monday started preparing for their regional. Oh, by the way, their regional in Springfield was the first game. Their game was the first game of the NCAA tournament.
Yes.
Which meant a flight across the country again on Tuesday, a Wednesday practice and media event, and then a Thursday at, what was it, noon Denver body clock time.
Right.
2 o'clock Eastern.
Right.
So they go through all that. Then they go to overtime. Then they go to a second overtime. And finally, yeah. they win the second overtime game and they advance. Now they finally get a normal day off. Kind of. It's a day off, but now they got to come back and play on Saturday in their regional championship game against Cornell. And lo and behold, they pulled that one out too. It wasn't easy, but they pulled it out.
I think I heard the stat mentioned over the week over the weekend that these two games, and I mean, I can look up the schedule, but these two games for Denver this weekend were the first time all season that they won games scoring less than 3 goals.
Well, that would make sense if you know how prolific they are at scoring and how poorly they've been at defending. I will say, though, Paul, even since the start of the NCHC playoffs, they were much better in the defensive zone, and they continually get a little better and a little better, I think.
Well, they definitely played how they needed to this weekend. I mean, as I look, yeah, I don't see there. Yeah, that is an accurate number. There were no regulation wins or overtime wins where they scored less than 3 goals until this weekend. And you know, again, it's not their modus operandi. Not that that's going to be unusual in 2 weeks, but they played shutdown when they needed to this weekend. Were they playing the most high-flying of teams in Cornell and UMass? No. But they were playing teams that were much bigger and more physical as a norm this year
and than Denver was. Much more, they were bigger and more physical and also not quite as talented up front.
Yeah, yeah, you know, yeah. Let's not. No one's going to confuse UMass or Cornell for the other three teams in the Frozen Four.
No, definitely
and
not.
Certainly not in style of play. Cornell, you know, always on the fringes of you know, getting to a Frozen Four a lot. I mean, they're just they're not necessarily the team that wins all the time, but you're not usually going to win unless you get through them. So,
yeah, absolutely. That is, and they did play Denver just last year,
And beat Denver.
Removed them from the tournament last year. So there was a little bit of quote unquote revenge. Nobody likes to use that word, but there was a little bit of payback. How about that?
Yeah, I would say, you know, because I'm sure most of the rosters is the same.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so. I'm not even going to, because we'll be here all night if I'm going to play all these clips. So I'm going to skip the UMass one, the double overtime winner, not because it wasn't important, but because I think we just got to get to the championship game. So here's the press conference, if I can edit it up as best I can, with David Carl and a couple of his players. Let me see what I can do. You go ahead and talk about it while I get it.
You know, I mean, against Cornell, you know, Cornell scores first in about 5 minutes into the first period. And, you know, the way the game is going, there's not a lot of shots being taken. Not a lot of offensive chances. But Miko Matika gets one of the high slot late in the first period. And slams it home, and ties the game.
Miko Matika.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Okay.
His 20th of the season, and the shots on goal after the first period were 8-7 Cornell. I mean, okay, forget goals. They're not even getting shots.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, so I've got queued up, I believe, David Carl's comments, and I believe he's got a couple of players. One looks like Matt Davis with them, and we'll go through it and see what we get. Here we go.
All right.
Start off by taking an opening statement from you.
Thank you. Just to start off, congrats to Cornell on an excellent season. There's not many more well-respected coaches than Mike Schaefer in the game, the way they play year in, year out, the consistency that they have, and the type of person he is, too. He's a great man, takes time for younger coaches, has always given me a lot of great time, and always willing to share his thoughts on the game and different things. So a lot of respect for him and how they operate. On the game itself, obviously, was an absolute war again. Really proud of our team. Two guys sitting next to me did an excellent job. McCade's led this group exceptionally well all season long, and Matty Davis' game just continues to grow and get better for us. And obviously, we're still playing if he doesn't make that save there at the end of the third. So, heck of an effort by our team. So proud of him. Can't wait to get back to another Frozen Four.
Thanks, Coach. We'll take questions for Matt and McCade now. We'll start with John and then go to John.
Thank you, John Doyle, U.S. College Hockey Online. Congratulations. Matt, I want to ask you, what was those final couple minutes like? Because they threw everything at you.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the guys did a heck of a job there, just shutting them down. I mean, they're a hard, heavy team, and they look to create chaos at the net front. And the guys were awesome in front of me there, and yeah.
Yeah, Josh Segan, College Hockey News for Matt. Just walk us through that last save. I mean, that was huge.
Yeah, I mean, puck went back door, and I slid across and made the save. And I'm super happy that I was able to do that and help out the guys there.
Ryan?
Ryan Lambert from Elite Prospects. McCade, they prevented you from getting to the net in a way that I think probably few teams have this year. What do you think they were doing specifically to kind of get in the way there?
Yeah, I think they're a great hockey team over there. Kudos to them and credit to their coach and every player on that team. I mean, they didn't make life easy on us, that's for sure. It was a heck of a battle. I'm happy with the guys right now. I'm really proud of them and how we fought and persevered throughout the 60 minutes of that game and did everything we can to win. So super proud and credit to those guys over there in Cornell.
All right, Paul, I think we got the point of that. So let me speed it up and get to David Carl here if I can and get his comments, because I think those are the most valuable instead of playing a full 12 minutes of this. The guys made their point, correct?
Right. Oh, well, listen, it's a tough game. It really, Denver got a late second period power play that they took advantage of to win the game, to get the game winning goal.
I got David queued up.
All right.
You don't have to stall.
Okay.
Here's David.
Questions for Coach. Go right to Ryan.
I'll ask a similar question to what I just asked. You had mentioned Mike's teams are pretty similar year after year after year. So what do you have to do as a coaching staff to get the guys ready to, like, kind of figure out how to work around that defense?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. You try and prepare them mentally as best you can. I think UMass was obviously a similar style. I think that helped. That was one of the – we knew this would be an absolute battle, this region for us. But when looking at it, we felt like if we could get past the first game, it would prepare us for the second game, regardless of who we played. We know Maine's a tough checking team as well. Obviously, we've seen Cornell. I think having played them a year ago, that helps, having that experience. And, I know it's another low-scoring game, but, we just felt like we were more prepared this go-around to take on that challenge. I think the experience of last year and, like I said, UMass helped. I think we've been able to build into these style of games throughout the last 6 to 8 weeks. Teams we've played in our league, you know, defend hard. Everyone tries to shut us down. So I think, like McCade said, we bought into playing a bit firmer brand of hockey. We've decided that that's what we need to do and to have success, to give ourselves a chance. And we gave ourselves a chance, and we found our way on the right side of both games here this weekend. And for that, we're really proud of our guys.
We'll go to Mike and then John.
Coming out of the timeout with like 2.5 minutes left or whatever it was, I think Zeev was on the ice for that faceoff. And I'm just curious, obviously an exceptional player, but is that a situation he would have been on the ice for earlier in the season, or has he kind of grown into a guy that was out there at that point in the game?
His minutes have been high all year. I think he was in those moments earlier in the year, but maybe he's better at managing them now. And I think that's a part of what we knew the growth of our team was. We've talked a lot about it, 11 freshmen, brought in 4 freshmen D, one got hurt. So we've been going with 7 since early November when Garrett Brown went down, and those guys have been thrown into the fire, and we knew there'd be lumps throughout the year, but they would learn and grow and get better. And everybody, again, wants to talk about the offensive side of our team and our players. But I think they showed, obviously, this weekend that we can win playing great defense as well. So that's a great sign that you can win games in different ways. And really proud of Zeev's growth, but the group's growth as well.
John. Coach, congratulations. It happens every once in a while that there's, you know, a region where one team is the odd man out. Geographically, that was the case with you, and then you come in and you win 2 games against 3 teams playing in their home region. How do you account for that? And that was an extra challenge that your team faced. How did you overcome that?
Yeah, seems to happen to us a little bit more than everyone else. You could do the math on that, but that's what it feels like on our end. I've been pretty outspoken about the need for change to the NCAA tournament and the structure of it. Not for Denver. We're doing just fine in this format. It's hard. It wasn't an excuse to come out here. We were well-versed and ready to play on the road. But when thinking about the fans and the student-athletes and their experience, I think that we can do things differently and have a conversation about that. So that's, I guess, what I would say to you. I'm not upset at the committee that we're here. I understand the rationale with BU not being able to play UMass, with UMass obviously having to be here. But when you're incentivized to lose a hockey game to avoid long travel, I think the system needs to be looked at. And if we had lost the game to Omaha, UMass wouldn't be in the tournament, and we would have stayed closer to home. And obviously we didn't do that. We wanted to win the tournament, learn how to win, and that has benefited us greatly here this weekend. But to say it's like a one-off and to move on from it, I don't think is right. I think we need to have an open and honest conversation about it, and I'm open to ideas. I think we all want this to be the best thing it can be for the student athletes and for the fans. And it's a great experience, and it's a great thing to be a part of. But can we tweak it to make it better? That's what I'm interested in having a conversation about. Will we ever let it be an excuse for us? Not a chance. We'll play anybody, anywhere, anytime. We had the most adversity with our travel, shortest turnaround, and our guys never once talked about it, never once bitched about it. We came up here ready to battle, and we did that, and I'm really proud of them for it. Right.
Okay. I'm going to say right then and there, that was the statement of the regional tournament of the NCAA.
Okay.
Correct?
Listen, we've talked about it a million times. And this just, you know, put it on steroids. There's a top-notch coach and a high-level coach for a team that's an annual national contender saying, hey, we have to do this. Does that mean anything's going to get done? I don't know. I would like to think so. but I also know what I've seen and experienced over the last 8 years of really closely following college hockey as we've done this. And I don't know, maybe it seems like work to think about changes and they don't want to do it. I don't know. I mean,
I don't know.
I don't know if this is the athletic directors. I don't know if it's the presidents. I don't know. It seems for the most part that, and again, I'll quote parochialism. They don't seem to want the thing to grow. They just don't.
It appears that way.
It just seems like that people who are in the system are like, yeah, I'm good where I am. It's good. I mean, we don't really need to figure out a way to get to 70 teams to play NCAA hockey or 72 teams to play NCAA hockey. Yeah, just leave it the way it is.
Yeah, well, I want to get that out of the
tournament.
Way.
And that includes a tournament. I mean,
yep.
You know, looked like there was a pretty good crowd in St. Louis tonight. I can't say as if the other three buildings were, I mean, I wasn't there, so, I mean, you said it was pretty full tonight.
And I don't want to put the cart before the horse here and finish off because I want to talk about BU and who Denver will play next.
And but, I talked with
Tim tonight a little bit about the, the environment. I thought it was great. I thought the bands from Michigan State and Michigan made it a nice environment. I think the crowds were about right. I'll be honest with you. There was a lot of people in Sioux Falls for that championship game, too. A lot of Minnesota fans. There were quite a few BU fans.
You were there.
But there was, I would say there was probably 6,000 in a 10,000-seat barn. And because they have the upper and lower bowls, they were able to not make it appear that way on TV. They showed basically the lower bowl the entire game. So, but there were a lot of empty seats. And I talked with Tim about that tonight, and I said, you know, this is, I think your environment turned out to be just right. Actually, I think 5,000 would be perfect, but 3,100 was better than 10. Does that make any sense?
Well, I do understand. You want the packed house. And if you have to sell a few less tickets because you're in a smaller building to keep it to have it be full, it definitely makes a difference.
But my reasoning for 5 as opposed to 3,100, like what they can get in at Centene, is the prices were driven up a lot because of the 3,100 seats. And if you had 5,000, I think you would have filled it and you would have had it at regular prices. But again, we can get into the committee, and we will this summer, get into all the things that the committee did right and all the things that they did wrong. But one of them was they put the wrong teams in the wrong buildings.
Yeah,
and anyway, that's a whole other topic. So anyway, Denver will play Boston University. Just a few comments here, and these are all broken up from head coach Jay Pandolfo. So let's start off with his opening comment. After they defeated Minnesota 6-3. Yeah, it was 6-3, but Minnesota will say,
well, it was closer than that, though.
It was a tie game.
Yeah.
Here's Jay.
I'm really proud of our group. To get down 2-0 and not get rattled, you know, we just stuck to the game plan. We kept playing. It was a little bit back and forth there in the first and second period. But to go into the lead in the third period and to play the way we did in the third, it says a lot about our group. Been much better second half of the year of extending leads and finishing the game off, and our guys were excellent tonight in the third period. So really excited to have the opportunity to go back to the Frozen Four.
Okay, that was his opening comments, and I kind of jumped the gun in this a little bit too. They won all two games that were almost identical in the way that they won them. The first one against, drawing a blank here. Who did they play first?
Oh, you mean BU?
Yeah. Who did they beat first?
RIT.
RIT. Yeah. Sorry, RIT. I didn't mean to have a brain misfunction there, but they fell behind. I told you, I texted you, I think at both games in the first period, I said, boy, BU is just, they're kind of slow and sloppy. And then all of a sudden, look out, they turned the Jets on and they cranked it up 150 degrees and just went after teams. And that's what they did in both games. They fell behind to RIT, they fell behind to Minnesota, and yet they come out looking like world beaters. So your thoughts on what you saw from BU?
Well, you know, I guess, you know, when sometimes when you're that good, you know, sometimes it does take you a while to get the Jets going. You know, they were, it was kind of a very slow moving first 10 minutes, and then bang, bang, in about a minute and a half, BU gets a couple.
Ridiculous. You know,
and RIT even gets one back a few minutes later to go down, you know, to go into the locker room down 2-1, and eight out shot BU 13-6. And you're like, all right, it's 2-1. You know, RIT is really dominating the first period. And, you know, they're playing with nothing to lose, and yet here we go. I mean, it just, again, there's so much talent on these teams that you can't, that you don't, they don't have to have a lot of chances. They just don't. And
you're talking about Thursday's game. I'm talking about what they did to Minnesota.
Well, again,
the Minnesota came out, thought they had the home crowd, thought they had everything in their favor, got a 2-0 lead, and then all of a sudden,
BU
scored one late, and then second period they just took it over.
Again, you're in a situation where maybe it took a half a period for BU to make whatever adjustments they had to make to what that other maroon and gold team was doing. They get a goal from Bryce Brodzinski with about 2.5 minutes to go. And 10 seconds later, instead of 2-0 going into the locker room, it's now 2-1 as Quinn Hudson gets an unassisted goal. And BU's right back in the game. And, you know, before you can blink, it's tie game. Shane LaChance, Potts won with a minute and a half gone in the second period, and all of a sudden, okay, here we go. And it's now starting to become more of the kind of game that you expected it to become. As it's 3-2, then 3-3, and then 4-3 going into the intermission after the second period, and you're like, okay, that's what I expected. A lot and lots of scoring. And you're sitting there, though, but the game's in doubt. But again, BU, and this is, I think, the biggest difference is they had guys that could control the game better from the back end.
Or do they have
other maroon and gold team?
And one of those guys would be named Lane Hudson.
He was just insane against that M team. And it just he had the puck the whole night.
Yep. And in fairness, let's play a few more clips from Jay here so that you can kind of get the thoughts of it. I mean, you can watch the game. If you didn't watch the game, you can go back and see the highlights or whatever. But here's from the coach.
Can you talk to me about the defense in the third? It looked like you guys were packing a little bit more. I believe I counted 8 block shots that period alone, but you know, defensively, it just seemed like taking away a lot of the passing lanes.
Yeah, we wanted to make sure that in the second period, they had some zone time on us. They were finding the weak side a lot. So we wanted to make sure we were collapsing a little bit more. They were trying to go low to high a lot and just follow pucks to the net, so we did a much better job in the third. You know, when you're down by a goal or up by a goal in the third period, you expect the other team to push. But I thought we played on our toes for the most part. I think we outshot them in the third period, if I'm not mistaken. So that's a credit to our group. We kind of kept pushing, playing on our toes. And when they did have a little push, we were there to sacrifice our bodies to block some shots. So it was an excellent third period by our group.
Jay, same question to ask Jack about Sam and coming back here to play on his home rink, so to speak. As the head coach and his sort of his dad away from home, how much did that mean to you to see him have? He had two good, really good games too.
Yeah, Sam Stevens has been an excellent player for us the last 2 years. You don't win hockey games without players like Sam Stevens. He accepts his role. He's very good at his role. He's a great leader. He came back for a reason, to get another opportunity to, you know, play in the Frozen Four and hopefully win a championship. And we knew that he won a championship here, so he knows what it's like to win. So I think it was special for him to come back here.
Sean Davis with USC Joe. Coach, obviously you faced a Minnesota team that ended your season last year in a Frozen Four. Was revenge one of the motivating factors for your team tonight, knowing that they ended your season last year and you returned the favor this time?
We didn't talk about getting revenge. We just talked about playing our game, and you know, we knew we were capable of beating them if we get to our game. And you know, we weren't great all night, but for the most part, we got the job done. So it's a new year. You know, we certainly like ending their season like they did ours last year. So yeah, it was great.
Okay, I got one more to play for you, Paul. I'm going to let you guess at who this individual is that may have asked.
By the way.
Question.
That's two teams, by the way, that beat the team that knocked them out of the tournament the year before.
Exactly. So, yep. Here we go. Hold on.
17-year-old college hockey player. You want that? At any rate, I'm not holding it against you because he's pretty good. But talked all year about managing the game, closing out games. Could you have drawn up any better the third period in terms of closing out this most important game of the year tonight?
No, that's definitely one of our best efforts, closing out a game, especially, you know, in this environment, in the NCAA tournament, to move on to the Frozen Four and have the third period we did. It's a credit to our group. We struggled with it at times earlier in the season, but we've certainly gotten better down the stretch. So, like I said, credit to our guys, but they're the ones leading the way now, so.
Paul, you happen to know who asked that question?
Anybody who knows anything about college hockey knows who that question was coming from. That's the legendary Bernie Corbett right there. I mean, that's...
yeah, he was wearing the flat top and looking sharp, as he always does when he appears. But the funny part about that was, if you could see Jay's head movements around it, he said, "You were a pretty good 17-year-old too, but you weren't as good as the 17-year-old you got on your roster right now." Of course, he's talking about Macklin Celebrini.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I mean, of course, I said this to you before we got on here. I don't know what. 48 draft picks in this Frozen Four. 48.
Yeah, that's.
That's nuts.
It's crazy.
48.
And they're high draft picks too. They're not a lot of number 7 and
well,
8 rounders.
It doesn't matter. They're all over the map, but still, 48.
Yeah, St. Paul is going to be full of former or soon to be NHLers. How about that?
The 1M team that did get in's got 9 draft picks. BC's got 12. Denver's got 13. And BU's got 14. Are you kidding?
let me play through these last couple of clips of Jay Pandolfo, and then we'll take a break and get into what happened in today's championship, tonight's championship games. Here we go.
The the performance of the first line, Harvey celebrating with Jay, especially being freshmen in this tournament, just how dominant they were tonight?
Yeah, they've been, since we put them together, probably 10 games now, maybe a couple more than that. They've been very good for us. They produce every night. They complement each other very well. You know, Shane's a bigger body, gets to the net. Macklin obviously drives play through the middle of the ice, and Harvey is just really calm with the puck. And he can score, he can finish. So it's been a good mix for us. And they don't seem rattled by big moments, those three guys. They're very mature. So credit to them. Yeah, they were big for us tonight.
He's talking about his freshman ball. They were big for us tonight. The moments are never too big for them. Anyway. Let's move on. We got a couple more to play on here. Hold on.
All right.
Your team through getting back into it.
He was excellent tonight. He was maybe the best game he played all year. He was really good for us. He was driving play. He was doing a bit of everything tonight. So we've seen it before, but tonight he was excellent. And it just gives our group confidence. When we see him making plays like that, moving like that, we're pretty sure we're gonna have a pretty good night.
Got the win over RIT, but the team wasn't completely satisfied with the gameplay, so just what did you like about the response tonight?
Yeah, I thought our start was really good tonight. We had some chances we just didn't capitalize on, and then, you know, obviously they started pushing a little bit. Got, you know, they're an opportunistic team. A couple of turnovers by us, and, you know, it was in the back of our net, but we stuck with it. I think we played a much more complete game than we did against RIT. And you got to learn from, you know, you gotta learn from your wins this time of year. Things you gotta do better. I was happy with our group.
Coach, I've been a hockey fan for all my life. Grew up in Boston, by the way. And I've never seen a 17-year-old be a captain of a college hockey team. It blows me away how good this kid is at such a young age. Could you talk about that?
Yeah, Macklin's he's a special player. It's college hockey's gotten a lot older too. Him to be a 17-year-old and do what he's doing, it's really impressive. And this kid just wants to win too. And he's a great teammate. And he's prepared for moments like this. He's so dedicated. He has a passion for the game. Every time he comes to the rink, he's trying to get better. And the way he works and competes in practice, he pushes our group. For a 17-year-old to be able to do that, it's pretty impressive. So it's no surprise that, you know, he's going to have a heck of a long career.
Well, the start of that clip, we was talking about Lane Hutson. The end of that clip, he was talking about Macklin Celebrini. would you put anybody in between? They're all going to look good on those two bookends, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, you see why Celebrini's the expected number one pick. You know, whether he goes to San Jose or Chicago.
What, you know where he's going already?
Well, those teams being at the bottom have the highest odds.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe you had a frozen envelope or something.
No. I wouldn't.
You wouldn't go there?
No.
Okay.
I have no knowledge.
All right, just checking. So. I didn't know if you'd go there or not.
But, just the skill level is insane, and as the coach said, he drives them in practice too, and it's as he said, college hockey has gotten older, and we'll see if that recedes a little bit after all the pandemic players are gone, but
there's an awful lot of people in the portal that are going for a grad year. So those grad years are becoming the norm now.
Well, they're at 166 in the portal right now, and we'll get.
We don't want to go down that road right now. We'll be here until 5 in the morning.
I was just going to say we'll get over that. We'll get through that, you know, to that over the next few nights. You know, at least start with it anyway. But just again, 48 draft picks. I just 48. And that doesn't include the guys that are already that are going to be drafted this year,
right? Yeah, and there'll be a bunch of them.
Yeah.
So anyway, what we do know after Saturday's championships are that Denver will face Boston University in one of the semifinals on April 11th at the XL Energy Center in St. Paul, Minnesota. Let's take a quick break, Paul. Let's come back and let's talk about what happened tonight, today and tonight, because a couple of great games again, one in Providence and one in Maryland Heights where I was. Right. We'll do that in just a couple minutes.
It's time to drop the puck on the nation's best college hockey conference. We bring you closer to the action all season long with access to exclusive on-demand content and more than 140 live games. Catch every big goal and clutch save. When you can't be there, we have you covered here. Stream on your phone, computer, or straight to your TV, and don't miss a moment from your favorite team. Subscribe now to watch the best in college hockey at NCHC.TV. If it's NCHC hockey, it's on NCHC.TV.
After a hard day at work or a long week, what's better than good comfort food to put you at ease? At the Spaghetti Shack, we say the answer is comfort food that's made by somebody else. The Spaghetti Shack has taken spaghetti and meatballs, the classic Italian comfort food, to a portable level. ASU alumni owned and operated, the Spaghetti Shack has three locations at 6340 South Rural Road in Tempe, the ASU location at 922 East Apache Road, and 952 West White Mountain Road in Pine Top. For lunch, dinner, or catering as well, call us at 480-687-2485 or order online at thespaghettishack.com.
Passion, talent, development. NCAA hockey offers all that, and its players graduate at a 93% rate. Trevor Zegras.
And they score on the lacrosse move.
Banks it towards the goalie. Score!
Kale McCarr. He scores!
Stars on campus before the NHL stage. Whether you're a fan or a player, nothing compares to college hockey.
My goodness gracious,
man! Visit collegehockeyinc.com and follow at College Hockey.
From the NCHC.TV studios, you're listening to ITHSW Podcasts, College Hockey West Live.
Indeed it is, College Hockey West Live. Sunday night, Scott Strandy with you in Maryland Heights, Missouri. My co-host, as always, Paul Hornstein, joining me from the Command Center in the Palatial Estate on Long Island, New York. Paul,
wait,
I'm going to let
wait,
you
there's more than one Command
BC
Center?
Yours.
Well, because you said something about a palatial estate, and I don't know what the hell you're talking
about.
Well,
yeah, that's where it's located. The Command Center is in the basement of the estate. Anyway.
I don't have an estate. I don't know what you're talking about.
Anyway.
Yeah,
I'll let
go
you
ahead.
Run with the BC overtime game against Quinnipiac, because I unfortunately was driving for 9 hours and did not have a chance to witness any of it. So as I was on the road, you were watching. What did you see?
I saw the kind of battle you would expect between the number one team in the country and the defending national champions. And where, you know, in order to, you're the champs until somebody beats you. And, you know, there are going to be people that sit here and, to cry a couple of the penalty calls in the game. I would say that maybe. I don't know. But, you know, even the guys in the booth said, we think one of these was a makeup call that led to a Quinnipiac goal. So maybe it evens out. I just know that... Quinnipiac, very good team. Vinny Duplessis made some incredible saves. It's crazy to say that giving up five goals, he stood on his head, but he did. And it took everything that BC had to get this game tied and sent into overtime. You know, this is the second straight day that one of the Boston schools was down 2-0. And this was quickly. This was less than 2 minutes in the game. Quinnipiac is up 2-0 at the 1:54 mark of the first period.
And that's just insane. That is just insane with the talent that they have in two aspects. Number one, that they let themselves fall behind like that. But number two is that they have the ability to just climb right back in it and make things happen.
Well, they did, because less than 30 seconds later, BC gets a power play. And again, there are some people that are like, well, it was a soft call. Well, it was what it was. And Ryan Leonard puts home number 30 for the season. And
let that one sink in for a minute.
30.
How many games they played, Paul? 36?
Somewhere. It's now up to 39.
Okay. That's still pretty dang impressive.
Right. And, you know, so it's 2-1 for a while, and Quinnipiac is starting to frustrate BC a little bit, as you look, as you would expect the defending champs to do, because you're not defending champs for nothing. You know, it doesn't happen by accident. But, you know, the slightest misplay or the slightest, you know, lack of execution on one particular play, and bang, it's 2-2. And you're like, oh man, you know, here we go, right? What if this is this, you know, the game's being played at Quinnipiac's pace, but it's still 2-2. And then Quinnipiac goes back in front. 4 minutes later, you're sitting there and you're like, okay, this is why they're the defending national champions, right? You're not going to run us out of the building. But again, BC gets a call. Quinnipiac goes to the box, and it's just that quick. Ryan Leonard gets number 31 on a wraparound.
when I saw that, I was just going like, are you kidding me?
Right?
That team is just loaded.
Just, you know, and you're sitting there and you're like, all right, well, you know, here we go into the locker room. Second intermission, 3-3, after nobody scores in the first period. Right? But BC does get called for a penalty with a minute and a half to go in the second period. Right? And Quinnipiac scores 16 seconds. The power play just ended. But, you know, we've seen that 1,000 times, right? Jacob Quillen.
And how?
Gets his second goal of the game. He only has 17 goals for the season.
What a man. That's sad.
Yeah. Slacker. Again, right? So now Quinnipiac's back in front, 4-3. And, you know, they're choking off BC, and they're choking them off and choking them off. And you can see kind of the frustration building up in BC's face. But again, one slight misplay, one slight mistake, and we have a tie game with 4 minutes to go. And Quinnipiac, by the way, is holding BC. BC got 15 shots in the first period, 9 in the second, 4 in the third. 4. Okay. But, so, you know, you're talking about at that point 28 shots. And you have the goalie standing on his head. And that the goal that ties the game, you can just kind of see the relief on BC's face. And, you know, so now they go into overtime. And, you know, overtime, right? One shot and it's over. BC gets kind of a little bit of a rebound off of a player in front. Jack Malone puts it in, game over, BC to the Frozen Four. And, there was nothing that Quinnipiac could do on the goal. The puck just bounced to a BC player, and he put it home. And, so the team with all those draft picks, one of the four, with all those picks, goes on. And we go from there. I mean, it's just, and then we get to the Michigan State game, and it's another game that's bouncing back and forth. And you're like, okay, here we go, right? This is a rivalry game on top of everything. It's the one rivalry that's been going on as long as Denver and CC. They go back and forth with how many, who's played the most games. And you could just feel the intensity as we look to get the last trip, the last invite to the Frozen Four. And, you have to stay out of the box against these teams because they're really, really good.
Oh man, you're not a kid.
And again, bounces back and forth, right? Michigan State scores first on the power play. Goes up 1-0 after the intermission. Michigan scores early in the second period, makes it 1-1. They go into the second intermission tied. And it's a pretty even game. It really is a pretty even game at this point. And you're like expecting kind of another overtime game. And Michigan comes out, gets a goal 5 minutes in. And once again, somebody, a Michigan player goes to penalty box. And it could have been a five. They made it a two. But Michigan State scores right away. It's now 2-2. And you're like, okay, here we go. Dylan Duke only gets number 25, another slacker. He gets the puck in the neutral zone and drives right to the net and makes it 3-2 Michigan. All right. The next goal that made it 4-2, 12 seconds later, is going to be the highlight you'll see all night and all day tomorrow as Frank Nizar makes a between-the-legs pass in the high slot to Gavin Brindley, another slacker with only 25 goals, and he puts it into a wide-open net, and that's pretty much all she wrote. Dylan Duke gets another power play goal a few minutes later to ice it, goal number 26 on the season for him, and sets up the battle for 10 in 2 weeks. In St. Paul.
Paul, we're going with the time for 10 on the Denver side. I started that one. It's time for 10.
Well, as usual, it makes no sense, but, whatever.
No, it's time for 10. Let me play a few clips here before we run out of time, and you'll be able to hear what some of the gentlemen said. This is Dylan Duke. And the goaltender, who happens to be a St. Louis native.
Right.
You know who I'm talking about. Jake
Barczewski. Yeah.
Barczewski. Yeah, I got it right. All right, here we go. Here they are at the press conference following the championship of the Maryland Heights Regional.
And goal, just speed to the outside.
Got a nice pass in the neutral zone. Took a D wide and just cut to the net. Fortunate to be able to bury that one.
Jake, how much really does this mean to you for you to put on a show in your hometown?
Yeah, I've been saying it all week and weekend, really. It's just super, super happy for, you know, first of all, my teammates. We've been through so much this year, and to come back here in Missouri and just my family, so many people in the stands, and it's just pretty emotional seeing some people up there today that I haven't seen in so long, and just to be able to share this moment with them, it's definitely up there.
And obviously you came from Kenesha, kind of a smaller school. Just why really did you want to come to Michigan for your fifth year?
Yeah, it's this right here for sure. This is the reason. You know, you have a great group of guys in front of you that no matter what, the lows and highs of a game, they're going to get it done at the end of the day. So I have so much faith in them, and I know they trust me back there. So whenever I take care of my job, everything else just seems to work out.
Okay, that's the two gentlemen. I got one more clip from them. Hold on one second. Right. Let me get that queued up. Here we go.
Third period, what is it? You guys just play well at crunch time?
I mean, I think if you watched our team early in the year, we had a couple rough third periods. And, you know, we talked about learning from them for moments like this. We learned all year. We had a couple tough losses in the third early on. And like I said before, we learned from them, and it showed the past few nights.
This could be answered by either of you, but the defense were pretty active on offense tonight, specifically with Ethan and Marshall getting on the scoreboard. What did you see from them in addition to their defensive play?
They did a great job tonight. Obviously, we were missing our top offensive defenseman, Sheamus, and guys knew they had to step up, and they did that. So it was huge for our team, and that gave us a chance to win.
Yeah, I thought our defense played great tonight. Guys stepped up like 2%. But, not just offensively, but man, what they did to close out that third period there. And really, the whole game is pretty special. So, they keep doing that in front of me. It makes it so much easier.
It seemed like also, that this one's for you, Jake, that you guys kind of did a pretty good job at keeping guys to the outside. There didn't seem like there was a lot of interior presence. How much confidence really does that give you for kind of the knowing that your defense is going to play the way it did tonight?
Yeah, it definitely fuels me. Seeing guys with big-time blocks there at the end as well. I just can't ask for any better defense in front of me. And whenever they're keeping it to the outside, it makes my life easier. And things like that happen. And they did that tonight. But like I said, just super proud. Being a little bit of an older guy on this team, obviously, being with these guys for a short period of time, it feels like I've been here a lot longer. And, man, I'm just so happy for every one of those guys and the staff and the coaches, because they all deserve it.
All right, there's a couple of comments from them. I got two more short ones with them, then we'll hear just a few minutes from Brandon Rotto in a second.
All right.
They scored on the power play, and then we responded with two like that. It was huge. That's what it takes to win, for sure.
You guys have really become a third period team. You really turn it on in third period. So first part of the year wasn't happening. So what caused this mind shift?
I think it's just like I said before, learning from our mistakes early on in the year, and becoming better because of them. Every year, yeah, for sure, every year, ups and downs, and turned it around for sure.
Paul, you heard Coach in there interject maturity. They've gotten mature, he said. And you and I have talked about Michigan all year, about how I didn't think they were the team that they were tonight. I think they've evolved into this, and I think they've become a scary team because they are multi-talented, but they are also very big and physical. I think you're talking with mute on.
The only team they see, that would be nonsensical. The only team they seem to have trouble with most of the year was Michigan State, and You know, they kind of avenged that this weekend. You know, they did have a big time third period both nights there in St. Louis. They had three on Friday night against the green and white of the University of North Dakota. And
tonight they got it done against the green and white of Michigan State. They like that. They like green and white, apparently.
Not a good weekend that we were in green and white in St. Louis.
All right, let me play 3 minutes of Brandon Nerado, and then we'll wrap things up. Here we go.
Just to start, what were your overall thoughts on the game tonight?
Overall thoughts, thanks to everyone here that hosted. I thought it was a great event. Two really good teams. I think it's great for college hockey. Unreal atmosphere.
Frank looked to be kind of really hungry for the puck all night. On his pass to Gavin especially, what did you make of that?
Yeah, just Frank's a game breaker, and he made a game breaking play. That's what he does.
What are the emotions like as a coach? Winning a game like this, you know, Frozen Four berth and beating a big rival like Michigan State, what are the emotions like?
Yeah, the emotions are crazy. You can't really describe it or replicate that feeling just because the highs and the lows and the hard meetings, just all the stuff that goes into being a coach or a head coach, everything that your family sacrifices, and then to have the opportunity to, for these guys to do it and then be a part of it and have success. There's no better feeling.
Question. From the Big Ten tournament, did you change anything schematically?
No. We talked about some things, but, you know, I think that game could have went either way. Like I said, two good teams, and then tonight, you know, our guys just made plays. You know, it was right there. You know, 1-1 going to the third, great game. We're up 2-1. They score on the power play. We respond. That's the one thing we've talked about a lot. There's so many momentum shifts in college hockey. That's what makes it so exciting. And, you know, if something good's happening to us, we got to keep stacking it up. If something doesn't go our way, we have to respond, and they definitely did. That's...
All right, so that's the first clip. I've got a couple more here if I can get to them eventually.
All right, well, just while you do that,
here
just
we go.
People...
Okay. Here we go. I got it. We're queued
all right.
up.
All right.
You got to be feeling good.
Yep. We won BC, right? Number one team in the country. So we got a lot of work to do, and we'll enjoy this tonight and fly back tomorrow and get started with the prep. Yeah, no, it's good. It's good, yeah. Trying to be humble. Yeah, it's good. They deserve it, the kids.
Dylan Duke with another 2 goals tonight. What can you say about him?
Every big game at Michigan, from his freshman to sophomore to junior year, all he does is lead and step up. He's been outstanding. It's not just the goals. There's several little plays in the game that give us momentum, give us bench energy. He's just a winning hockey player, and he's going to play the game for a long time.
How exciting is it to see Bartuski, you know, come away with a win, especially in his hometown?
Yeah, it's awesome. Super proud of him. Just like all of us, Barzo's been through his ups and downs, and throughout that whole time, everyone believes in him. And for him to do it in front of all his family and friends is really cool.
All right, one last very short one here, and okay. We'll move on from that.
All right, by the way.
Yeah.
Right, I was going to say, well, I was just trying to fill in while you found whatever you were looking to find.
Got it, 30 seconds.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I was going to say 28 national championships between these four teams, 37% of all of the 75 NCAA championships that have been played for. The two Boston schools have won 5 each, and we know about the race to 10 between Denver and Michigan. And
what you're saying is it's going to be a fun tournament.
What I'm going to say is just don't expect any defense to be played.
Okay. Well, David Carl will have something to say about that.
I'm sure he
anyway,
will.
Anyway, here we go. The last 30 seconds of Brandon Nerado.
Nerado.
Seamus, Nerado, my bad. How did you see your defense step up tonight?
Guys just stepped up. They just stepped up. I think it's mentality, and it's a lot of little things. It's inches everywhere. And, you know, Ethan Edwards had a goal and 2 assists. You know, and it's not just about the points, but defending the net front, you know, getting pucks in, getting pucks out, just making the right plays at the right time. everybody stepped up.
All right, that was it. That's that wraps it up. So the second matchup, which probably will be the first matchup, because Boston College will get the opportunity to pick whether they want to go first or last.
No, they won't.
Nope.
Apparently, the well, you know that that's not what drives this.
Yeah.
The at least the schedule
have they already
that I
decided,
see,
Paul.
The schedule that I see is BU in Denver at 5 o'clock Eastern time.
Okay.
And then, you know, assuming no overtime.
Yeah, good luck
BC,
with that.
Well, whatever. BC and Michigan are slated to start at 8:30 Eastern time.
Okay. Well, I got the official word from Ron Nabenbauer with the Denver that Denver will have an optional practice tomorrow, no practice Tuesday, because there will be a virtual NCAA Frozen Four conference call.
That's nice.
Starting at 9 a.m. Mountain Time with Brandon Nerado. Is that how you say
right.
it?
Yes, Brandon Nerado.
Okay. And then Boston College, Greg Brown at 9:15. 9:30 will be Jay Pandolfo from Boston
right.
University. And it'll round off at 9:45 with Denver's David Carl. Then practice will be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and media availability each day. So hopefully I get to some of those and can corner some of the guys that are going to be the difference makers if Denver is to advance and capture time for 10.
No. Just no. Stop. Please, I'm begging you.
Well, too bad the Tigers aren't there so I can continue that. Anyway, two regionals in one weekend. I don't know that that was even possible, but I got to see them, and
yep.
Very thankful for the guys in Sioux Falls and Omaha for hosting that, and then of course Lindenwood and the guys from the St. Louis Sports Commission. What a great job they did, set us up. The Frozen Four set up for April 11th. The 12th will be awards day. The 13th will be the national championship game. We will have it all for you starting tomorrow night with college hockey coast to coast. Finish it off, my friend.
All right. From the NCHC.TV studios, College Hockey West Live has been brought to you by Caesars Entertainment Resorts and Casinos worldwide. It's where the action is in the resort or in town. Jesse Ray's Barbecue, the best in barbecue Las Vegas style, 308 North Boulder Highway in Henderson. For the NCHC and NCHC.TV, subscribe to NCHC.TV and catch all of the action from the toughest conference in college hockey. The TAG Creative Group, search T. Grand Rudd on Redbubble.com and let us help you design that one-of-a-kind gift for you or someone special. College Hockey, Inc., your NCAA hockey resource. The Caesars Sportsbook app. Download the app where available, but please play responsibly. By FedEx, simplify your business shipping with FedEx, the official package delivery company of Ice Time Hockey West. And by Liberty University, over 700 programs of study to help you impact your community on and off the ice. Strengthen your faith at our state-of-the-art campus. See us at liberty.edu. College Hockey West Live is live every week on the Podbean app and available with all of our weekly podcasts for download at your favorite podcast platform. Search ITHSW Podcasts, all one word. To find any of our shows, that's ITHSW Podcasts. Subscribe, rate, and review the shows, or tell a friend to help others find the podcast. College Hockey West Live and all of our weekly podcasts are part of the IceTimeHockeyWest.com network.
Very well done. Thanks for staying up extra late. I know you don't have teaching tomorrow, but still, it's a late night, and we will get through things and talk to you again tomorrow night.
All right. Good night,
everybody.
Executive producer feels better.
Yeah, it's been a rough one today.
Good night.